Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, weary traveler. Need a short rest?
Oh, I see. They said you'd be showing up about now.
Come on, through the portal. Best not keep the Lore Mistress and Lore Master waiting. You know how they get.
Robots Radio presents the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. The best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
And we're continuing our hotter than the nine hells series. It's so hot IRL that it's hard to concentrate. I feel like we're going to be discussing like the topography and the geography and the environment of Avernus. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read the title of the episode, we're going to be talking...
Or seen any of the announcements or any of that stuff that we do beforehand.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Avernus, the first layer of the Nine Hells of Bator. As we discuss, what it kind of feels like and looks like, I feel like I'm just describing Texas in the, toward the end of June. It's the evening. It's 7 o'clock. Like, this would be the time, like 20 years ago, 20, maybe 10, I don't know. It's so hard, I can't even remember the past.
Right? It's okay, your brain's fried.
Friends would even be starting out there in it. On NBC in just a minute or two. Like, hey, let's get around the TV and watch Friends, see what that wacky Joey's going to get into this week. That's how you know it's like the nighttime, because all the sitcoms come on.
Yeah, I think they've changed since Friends.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
I don't watch regular TV anymore, so I couldn't tell you.
Does anyone? I don't know. I can't. How do cable companies? You know what? We're not here to talk about the good old days and the whippersnappers and
not capitalism hell. Different hell.
A different hell. Anyway, it's 102 degrees right now as we record
this. At 7 p.m. It's disgusting.
It's ridiculous. But we are going to talk about Avernus. Avernus, as I've been known to call it jokingly, so much that sometimes I accidentally say Avernus. So if you hear me,
have you done that to yourself with it too? Perfect.
I've broken my brain. So
if
I end up saying Avernus during the episode, that's exactly why. So
hopefully it'll be more than once and we can get an Avernus count.
Like a ding, ding, ding.
Like a little clicker. I need a clicker.
As I mentioned before, it is the first layer of the Nine Hells of Bator. And it's the primary battleground for the Blood War, which we will be discussing in greater detail once we start talking about Planescape. And I am oh so excited about that.
He is so very hyped. He is ready to go.
I mean, I feel like if you listen to our patron roundtable last week, I think just about
it
everyone.
It kind of sounds like we're all ready to go.
We're all like, yeah, LFG. And the art, like the artwork that they've leaked. I don't want to say leaked because, like, I mean, it's like the artist saying, like, hey, this is my art. That's not necessarily like, you know, this isn't like anonymous, like posting the stuff out. But the artwork that has been posted has been just absolutely chef's choice. Chef's kiss. All top choice, top shelf. It's so hot.
Dealer's choice, chef's kiss, bee's knees.
IRL, I was literally about to say Avernus. Avernus is the ancient name for a volcanic crater that is located in Italy, which the Romans believed was the entrance to the underworld. So that is where that is, you know, your IRL inspo.
Oh,
for this little section of Faerun. So the largest layer of Vator, and you know, one of the most traditionally infernal. And when we say infernal, iconic, like hellish image, blasted hellscape with rivers of lava and, you know, just barren hills, you know, rocky mountains as far as the eye can see. Like, you know, when you think of hell, you probably envision something that looks like Avernus.
Right.
It says that to scale the mountains or to move too quickly was unwise at best, since several different kinds of crystals like obsidian and quartz just like jut out from the land. They not only like will, you know, rip apart your clothes, like snag onto your threads.
Yeah, that doesn't feel great.
But we'll also, I mean, yeah, if you're wearing like a nice shirt, like, damn, that's my favorite shirt. That's my Loth Spider Queen shirt that
I was gonna say, why are you wearing your favorite shirt into hell? And then your Loth Spider Queen shirt, then yes, that's
that I got off the
dress for the job that you want.
Exactly. Okay? The one that I got off the D&D Lorecast Redbubble.
I hear there's a bunch of really great merch there.
Oh, there it's chef's choice up there.
That's what I'm saying. It's the bee's knees, baby.
So yeah, so it'll cut your fine threads, and it'll also go ahead and slice up your flesh. Again, be very careful as you traverse Avernus. The presence of rocks, boulders, you know, the like. And I love this little detail, some of which seem to resemble tormented faces and shapes of creatures. You know, I don't think that is just by happenstance. I don't think that in this hellish place where people, you know, where creatures were, you know, living beings that were once living beings are now being tortured, you know, for infinity. I don't think that they just happen to have rocks that resemble the tormented faces of people, right?
Probably not, but so I don't know if you know, but this like the 37th anniversary of the release of The Labyrinth. I think that was like today. It's like within the next day or two, or it is today. But you're talking about these rocks being shaped like faces, and I'm picturing them going through the oubliette. It's the path you take will lead to certain destruction, is what's clopping into my head.
If we're talking about hell and possibly avoiding it, I want to go ahead and make a confession. I have only seen Labyrinth but the once. And I saw it as an adult, so it really didn't like imprint itself on me. It's kind of like, oh, that's a weirdo movie. I can see like why people, like friends of mine, the people that I, you know, would, you know, be friendly with, saw that as kids and were obsessed with it.
Yeah, it was, for me, there's a nostalgia thing, but also my stepsister, like growing up, that was one of her favorite movies, and so we would watch it. She'd want to watch it over and over again, and of course the older kids wanting to hang out with me, I was the baby. It's like, okay, whatever you want to do, but I absolutely love it. The costuming in it is gorgeous. But anyway, that's what I was picturing, is those big giant faces down in the tunnels talking to you.
So these faces that are rocks, these rocks that look like faces, they make the terrain extremely treacherous, obviously difficult to cross at a pace quicker than a fast walk. So you're not you know, you're not running across Avernus.
Oh, yeah, you might step in somebody's nose hole.
Rubble covers the vast ashen plains of the layer's charred wastes. Fireballs, you know, that's the ground. Up in the sky, you have fireballs racing across the sky. And you would think, like, just like looking at it, you would, at first glance, it seems to be just a random, you know, at random, you know, just a sort of hodgepodge of fireballs shooting right across the dark sky of Avernus. But if you actually pay closer attention and mm-hmm. you actually perceive like a targeted motion, so there is method to the madness.
Oh, fireballs with the homing capabilities.
With some GPS for sure. Absolutely. And then, so that's, you know, in the sky. And then once they actually hit the earth, obviously it's scorched, leave craters smoking, burnt corpses in their wake. You know, anybody or anything that happens to be in its path will be the skeletons in Terminator 2. That's my old movie reference. There we go.
Nice, nice. It's a solid reference. I get it.
If I could make a T2 reference in at least once a month, I think we're doing all right.
That's fair.
It's a fine film.
Absolutely. I feel like that's one of those, like, I've seen all of it, but I could not tell you what happens in it, but I've definitely seen all of
what?
It throughout the years.
Oh man, it's so great.
I mean, sitting down to watch it like that time period, it wasn't my thing at that point in time, but we've been revisiting old movies, so we'll see what else pops up.
And
I'll finally get some of Sergio's references.
The original has an amazing 80s soundtrack. It's so good, like synthy for sure.
Oh yeah.
So let's say you find yourself in Avernus for some godforsaken reason. You would need, and you see these fireballs racing across the sky.
Where do I sign up to not?
Well, I mean, if you are there, that's either by choice because you are braver than you are smart, or you're stuck there, in which case, yeah, you're out of luck. But if you do see these fireballs, you should probably find shelter, build some kind of structure, some kind of building, a cave, you know, or risk death.
Oh, got it. Outside death, inside not as much death.
Not as much, but still the air is, you know, it's clouded with this volcanic ash and it's blighted with swarms of flies. So it's completely acrid. It's not a great place to be.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's probably in the name.
Right. It's hell. Clouds of red and black flickered with orange flames. Mm-hmm. But this has to be unsettling. If you look up in the sky, you don't see a sun or stars, just a constant blood red light that completely permeates the air.
Oh.
And that's kind of par for the course, because blood is kind of like, it's essentially like the symbol of Avernus. It's kind of like what Avernus is known for.
Right, that does make sense.
Because, you know, it's where the river of blood that runs through Bator, you know, collecting, you know, rivulets from like every sort of nook and cranny and stream and pool, from the victims of millions of battles, from the blood wars, as well as like, you know, tortured victims. So practically all of the entire plain of Avernus is covered in a coat of blood. And I love this, covered with bones and gore, whether devilish, demonic, or otherwise, acting as a grim reminder of the regular bloodshed that marked an average day in Avernus.
Covered with bones and gore is just such a pretty descriptive, like, phrase that it's just so... It's so pretty. What a weird thing to say about bones and gore, but it is.
If that isn't already the name of a Cannibal Corpse song, then it needs to be covered with bones and gore.
I mean, I'm sure we'll hear one soon. They're totally probably listeners.
Oh, I mean, I would hope so.
One could only.
As with all the other lower planes, you know, we have the River Styx running through Avernus, you know, with its number of offshoots and whatnot. And as we stated in the River Styx episode a few months back, or a few weeks back, your rivulets, lakes, streams all flowed across Avernus's plains and feed into the river. At one point, it flows to the edge of the lair, the River Styx does. And it was later located at its center thanks to relentless Batezu campaigning and conquering gate towns along the lair's edges. A little bit of what is it? You can do it in Animal Crossing, where you change the environment.
Landscaping.
There's like another term for it. You have so many people right now like screaming at their phone
shaking their fist at their headphones.
Right. The famous material known as Batorian green steel. Mm-hmm. It can only be found on the wasteland level of Avernus. Mm. This very rare ore is extracted from deep shafts, you know, deep mines in large-scale mining operations, and can be used to forge green tinted steel, which is tougher, sharper, and lighter than steel found on the prime material plane. So that's kind of like the
That's the steel that all the like the boats are made from that are used to get around Plegethos. Like it's the only kind that is capable of withstanding the heat there. Yeah.
I was gonna say that's the kind of steel that you would like get on the QVC. It's like or like you'd see like an infomercial for like you have someone cutting with like a regular steel knife and like can't like get through it. Like there's gotta be a better way. Like, well, go down to Avernus and buy yourself. Like, I'll pay the extra for the shipping for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are living or you're dead, the entry point, for Bator is Avernus. It's the most commonly visited of the nine hells as a result, because Asmodeus forbids any portals opening to other regions.
Yep.
And so because of this, you know, those who are entering or trying to enter Bator for one reason or another, whether it be to save or plunder, or of course, just regular old damn souls, you have to come through Avernus before reaching the other layers of the nine hells. And so the lair is frequently inhabited by the servants of other archdevils, such as Barbazus, that gathered the Forsaken or Imp or Spinnigan messengers, stuff like that.
Right.
It's kind of like the Ellis Island of hell. You know, and if you have lice, they put you in a room by yourself.
Yeah, I was just the Asmodeus. And the Statue of Liberty's like dress, mental image. You're welcome.
like dressed like a 1920s
like Lady Liberty.
Oh, I was thinking he was like, you know, a little kid. Like kind of like from Newsies. I've got this scene from The Godfather Part 2 in my head. He's by himself. And then they like inspect him and he has lice and they put him in a room by himself and he's like staring out the window singing like a really melancholy song.
Oh my gosh. No, I was just picturing a giant statue of him. Like whenever everybody's coming into hell, that's what they see. He's Asmodeus dressed like Lady Liberty.
Give me your damned. Give me your forsaken.
Yeah. I'll take them.
So
okay. Well, all right.
The primary reason for this magical restriction was, you know, very strategic, very practical, you know, for a demonic invading force or any kind of force, really, to access the lower layers of hell. They would be forced to conquer and claim the lair directly above it. So they're like, you know, you just can't show up in the second layer.
Take over. Yeah. Right. You can't just plan to take over layers infiltrated at once.
Right.
You gotta go through them in numerical order.
Right.
You gotta go in numerical order.
Nothing if, you know, they're very OCD in that way.
I have to say, I do really, really, really appreciate that aspect, that it is truly, truly,
I mean, it's
lanes. Like it is. It is. The rules are the rules are the rules. And my heart loves it, but I shouldn't because it's hell.
It feels like the worst slash best like DM, like dungeon master. Like this feels like it would like a dungeon crawl. Like you gotta like crawl your way through hell to get to the lowest level and then, you know, get the big bad.
Mm.
So as the buffer between the nine hells and the abyss, Avernus is incredibly dangerous, obviously, even without its natural hazards. As you have, you know, demon armies, devil armies trained for future battles. While the lair was once bustling with cities and citadels, and you know, it was kind of a happening place.
It was popping.
It was on and popping. Centuries of fighting, the blood war ravaged it so that it's only perpetually like rebuilt strongholds and, you know, pretty stout, fearsome looking fortresses are all that remain.
Right. The places that needed to be and could be fortified.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's in a constant state of expansion, you know, by military conquest. You know, it's constantly in a state of war. And like I said, we'll discuss the blood war in a couple of weeks. And I wanted to start digging into it now, but it's like, no, I gotta stay on topic. I gotta do the research on Avernus. I can't read about the, I spent
he's got
like maybe
the sweats,
like
pulling at his collar. You're sweating. I can't remember his name from Airplane when it ends up landing the plane.
Pouring
sweat down him.
Yeah. I was thinking, the guy who played Professor X in the new movies, not Patrick Stewart, McAvoy. James McAvoy. There's that pretty like popular GIF of him like sweating. I'm not sure what movie.
Yeah, that
one
works too. I know which one you're talking about.
Whoever is ruling Avernus, and we'll get into the ruler here in a little bit after the middle of the show. The ruler of Avernus is titled Lord of the First, which is awesome. That's pretty cool.
I love the Lord titles by layer. That is the coolest.
Currently, this position is held by Zariel, who at one point was supplanted by Belle, not Belle from Beauty and the Beast, but Belle, a devilish general.
Wonder.
Right, yeah, like you, if Belle
girl is strange, no question. It turns out that she's from hell.
That's got to be the bumper. That's got to be. We've got to put together like a little like a commercial for the show, and that's got to be in there somewhere. It has to be. So Zariel ran Avernus, was supplanted by Belle, who gained the Fallen Angel's trust, and then subsequently betrayed Zariel. Subsequently supplanted Belle. You know, took this position back when Belle fell out of favor with Asmodeus. And when he was ruling, Belle dwelled in his own fortress at the center of the Bronze Citadel.
That fact could have been thrown into my song too. Dang, I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you could. You
no, we're good.
You have homework now.
Oh, good.
To write.
That's what I need.
Write a song about Avernus, to the tune of, I don't know what the first song from Beauty and the Beast, whatever the song title is. I don't know. Not sure what it is, but we all know it. We all love it. Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, chef's choice. We are going to go to the middle of the show.
Yes, please.
And when we come back, we will discuss, we'll talk a little bit about the history of Avernus, as well as Zariel, just a tiny bit.
Ooh, okay.
It is the middle of the show. Mary, what do we do in the middle of the show?
In the middle of the show, we are going to talk about homebrew, amazingness found over on the DM scale. This is where we talk about news if we have any. We tell you, you know, all the ways to talk to us. And we have to thank our patrons. They got to go first every time.
First and
you
foremost.
Guys are the best. First and foremost, thank you. Shout out to our newest patron. I believe your name is pronounced Omid. And if I pronounced it wrong, please correct me. I don't like doing that.
No, yeah.
Thank you.
We discussed, like, we looked it up. We definitely want to pronounce people's names correctly.
Every time. And if you think there's a chance of me or him getting it wrong, you can also throw a pronunciation in there for us. We are perfectly okay with that. And I can go back and correct it later. But either way, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. It means the world to us. All of that goes towards us getting to do more for you guys and keep doing this. So it's like a win-win here. If you want to join our Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/dndlorecast, which is the same name we use literally everywhere.
On all the social medias.
On all the social medias. It's true.
On TikTok, on Instagram, soon to be released Twitch. We're going to start streaming soon. We're very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Been trying to perfect stuff for you guys. I'm being nitpicky.
We love doing this. We would do it if we do it anyway. Rest assured, it's not like, you know, this is, we talk about D&D for an hour every week between the two of us, and then we never consider it again. It is literally going on in the background
constantly.
Of my mind.
Yeah, like the Discord's popping off all the time as well. More D&D happening there.
And so, you know, we love creating this kind of content. We love building this community. We love shouting out other creators, supporting other creators, because you know when one of us shines, to quote Moira, Rose, Moira Rose, when one of us shines, we all shine. So thank you so much for supporting the show in this way. And if you want to support the show in other ways, you can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave us some reviews.
Wherever you're listening to us at.
Follow us on the aforementioned social medias. And of course, like Mary mentioned, the Discord. We're always on the Discord, always willing to discuss D&D. And even otherwise, like, you know, like I said, like we're, you know, we have non-D&D channels on the Discord where you can post pictures of your furry friends.
It's true. It's true. There's all kinds of stuff in there, actually. There's, it's great. You should just come on over. Just come look around and figure it out.
Come on over. It'll be fine.
We'll give you a tour. Just pop in and say hi.
As far as like D&D news, not really too much this week. I think everyone's kind of getting ready for Big B Presents Glory of the Giants, the release next couple of months. So we're going to double down on some homebrew action. We have been throughout the Hotter Than the Nine Hells series been highlighting Hellbound Heists, which gives you an adventure, a heist type adventure for every layer of Bator. And so you it has like 29 new monsters, 23 new items, a new background, all great stuff, right? It's got 4.5 star rating. The Avernus Job is a level 8 plus adventure. A quick trip to hell explores the short time Grumsh, the orcish god, spent in Avernus and what he left behind. Interesting. So we've been highlighting that each and every episode of the Nine Hells series, but I wanted to get into some more homebrew action, because homebrew is nothing if not like the just like the heart and soul of D&D.
Right.
So we've got Encounters in Avernus. Now this is a PDF for $5.95, and it's bunch of great names: Ashley Warren, James Heck, James Intricasso, who is now with MCDM. This is a DM's Guild Adepts product, which is essentially kind of like it's got a gold logo on anything with a gold logo on the DM's Guild is pretty much kind of like Wizards of the Coast approved. Like, hey, this is not a, not exactly official, although this is Adventurers League legal, but it's as close as you can get. But Encounters in Avernus presents more than 60 short encounters for the wasteland of Avernus, the River Styx, and the city of El Turel. Keep characters busy with the story-rich encounters that help flesh out the first layer of hell. The supplement is great for Descent into Avernus or any other infernal adventure. And two longer encounter chains are included to help you craft an amazing story with Tiamat or Zariel. And that as well is also 4.5 stars. It's only $5.95 for the PDF, and Hellbound Heists is $15.95 for the PDF, or you can actually get a physical copy as well, which you know me, I love my physical copies.
You got an addiction for them for sure.
I can't help myself. I love D&D so dang much. I love them TTRPGs. I love them so much. Let's go ahead and jump back into the show and finish up Avernus. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for it. Let's go.
Welcome back, and welcome back to hell.
Welcome back to hell. Thanks for joining us. This is level one.
Yeah, this is the first level. You've reached the lobby of the damned afterworld. Afterlife.
You know that the person at that desk would be so grumpy but would have the most cheery ooh ooh voice, and it would be so confusing and annoying.
It would be amazing. Like I imagine the from Office Space. I can't remember the name of the company, but she like da 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 just the moment. Just a moment.
I have no idea. It's another reference.
You've never seen Office Space?
I haven't.
That's wild. That's wild. Office Space is it's a movie that, you know, for my age group, it came out a little, you know, I still enjoyed it, but I didn't really like get it until I actually like worked in an office, and now I'm like, oh yeah absolutely. Avernus once ruled by the then archfiend Tiamat. So this is before Tiamat becomes a deity. Just a regular old archfiend with five heads.
We did talk about that. There was an episode about if you need to know more.
If you want, and who doesn't want to know more? Like, there's an evil dragon lady with five heads. I gotta know more about that. So Tiamat served Asmodeus faithfully. Her job was to prevent like outcast devils from on the lair from becoming a threat. You know, because you would think like oh, that everyone's going to obey. It's hell, right? No, of course not. They're always scheming, always planning, always plotting.
They're there for a reason.
Right, right.
They don't just show up there for no reason.
And I love this, but she performed so poorly that Asmodeus demoted her. It's like, look.
Yeah.
I want to hear that conversation.
I stand by this. I do. I have a soft spot for Tiamat. I was okay with it until Stubby Legs.
Yeah.
The little stubby legs that got me.
So, and this was great. Poor thing. Being able to read her thoughts, Asmodeus figured out that her failure was, you know, not deliberate. I mean, it was like she did it for a reason. Oh. And Asmodeus deigned to allow Tiamat to remain in Avernus unpunished and even gave her a chance to regain this position. If, you know, she happened to impress him in the new role, which was being the guardian to the main gate of Dis.
Yes.
And so this was like this sort of arrangement lasted until 1346 DR when Tiamat was elevated, aforementioned, like as we said before, to the status of a deity. And it was at this point when Avernus is ruled by Zariel, until her betrayal by Bell. So it was during Bell's rule that, and this is wild. This is like when you think of like devil scheming, it's this sentence to a T. It's during Bell's rule that Asmodeus asks Tiamat to offer down low aid to Zariel in order to prevent Bell from becoming too powerful. So Bell's ruling, Asmodeus says, hey, Tiamat, keep this hush hush, keep this on the low low, but can you help out Zariel just to kind of, keep Bell from becoming too powerful?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this was all a ploy orchestrated with Bell to keep Tiamat herself in check,
mm-hmm.
which would effectively make her a prisoner. And I was going to say Avernus in Avernus.
You're at two times. You've almost done that.
That's,
now.
It's twice now. So it's it's just like all the scheming, all the plotting, like days of our lives could never. Days of our lives could never.
Ugh, right.
Sometime after the spell plague, Asmodeus offers Tiamat the rulership of Avernus. Tiamat doesn't accept, wants to prevent a conflict with Bell.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to disappoint Asmodeus again.
Yeah, I don't want to mess up and I don't want to fight with Bell. How about
I become your champion and devour all who oppose you?
They deal with that and I'll just eat whoever causes you problems.
Look,
I'm hungry. You got people need eating. Let's work something out.
I
have five mouths to feed.
I hope that, at my regular desk job, that one day my boss will sit me down. Like, hey, can I talk to you, Sergio? Like, yeah, absolutely. What's up? It's like, hey, you've been doing great. You've been doing a fantastic job. And we've noticed you've been putting in the time, putting in the effort, and we would like to promote you. What do you think about that? Comes with a pay increase, comes with an extra week of vacation. And of course, the sky's the limit from there. What do you think? That's tempting. That's very tempting. But how about instead... I just become your champion, and anyone who might oppose you, I'll eat them. Oh, I'll be fired.
I got this barbecue sauce recipe. I've been dying to try out. I would take a Nine Hills soap opera on our D&D network too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Very much like in the telenovela. Vein.
Oh yeah,
super extra and over the top.
Yeah
I love it. So sometime later, Bell, like I said earlier, falls out of favor with Asmodeus, and it's really his inability to repel this demonic invasion of Avernus. This is when Zariel reclaims her title as Lord of the First, following Bell's demotion.
Right.
Bell is then forced to serve as Zariel's advisor, remains one of her chief lieutenants. And it's all a plot, all a ploy, to claim the title back, waiting for her reckless tactics to lead to a mistake that he can then capitalize on.
Oh, they're set in place to keep each other in check and keep each other busy.
Oh, yeah. Asmodeus is
deal with them.
Yeah. Asmodeus is pulling the strings 100%. 100%.
Yeah, that makes sense. I get it.
Before Zariel's second rule, Avernus, like I said, was this rich, civilized realm, cities, commerce, mm-hmm. trade, all that. But like I said, the Blood War has reduced the entire lair to just a wasteland, essentially, a war zone, essentially.
Weird.
Right.
A bloody war zone from the Blood War?
No, could never. The only functioning structures, like we said, were these fortresses, these military citadels that, are strong enough to muster, to stand up to the combat.
Mm-hmm.
Upon her return to power, Zariel, still enraged at having been at Tiamat's mercy, assists the cult leader, Severin Silrajan, and also a group of Red Wizards of Fae, our old friends, the Red Wizards, to free her from Avernus, if only to rid the lair of Tiamat's presence.
Look, y'all want her to mess some stuff up. I don't want to deal with her. Let's work something out.
Let's you scratch my back, I scratch your back, I unleash yours. Tiamat from hell. That sort of thing.
I don't have to deal with her. She's your problem now.
So some locales, if you are, yes, if you find yourself in Avernus, like what do you, what are some tourist spots? What are some tourist attractions?
Where is our, oh my gosh, I do hope they have one of those tour boats made from the Batorian green steel.
Right, like a ferry.
Kind of like a Disney ride.
Right. And over to your left, you see the Bronze Citadel. You see the Bronze Citadel, a huge fortress city, dozens of square miles in extent, and ringed by 12 heavily defended walls.
That's so many walls.
This is where the Lord of the First, kind of governs from, rules from.
Right, right.
And it also houses hundreds of thousands of lesser devils, you know, the grunts, the troops. As well as like the war machines, the vehicles and whatnot used in the Blood War.
Different infernal constructs and stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's constantly being added to in the form of new fortifications against attacks. So, I mean, it's probably like being demolished in some respect and then being rebuilt to, to withstand yet another attack.
Right.
You've also got the Great Avernus Road, which is massive, leading from this fortress in the Bronze Citadel, where the Lord of the First rules, for the purpose of transporting large armies of devils swiftly to battle.
That is just the names, man. I know that is.
Right, exactly. Road,
but it's a pretty big road.
What do you think the Pillar of Skulls is?
Is it a pillar?
Okay.
Made from skulls?
By gosh, I think you've got this. It's so awesome. It's a pillar. I mean, for lack of a better term, it's a pillar. It's just a mountain of skulls that are trophies, essentially. Those that have been killed in the Blood War. And so it's just like a pile of skulls of victims of those who have died. The location is very close to the entrance of Din, which is the second lair. And then there is Tiamat's lair, which is a tall mountain that is the prison of Tiamat. It's somehow connected to the dragon spawn pits of Azharul, which is Tiamat's main realm. And it's actually near the base of the Pillar of Skulls. There's a massive cave mouth near the base that leads into Tiamat's lair, and from here she could guard, the gate to Dis against demon attacks.
Hey, it is absolutely a pretty awesome thing. I think it's like skulls and like flesh and all wiggly and gross and writhing.
It's beautiful.
It's pretty nasty.
It's awesome.
Pretty badass.
How do you get to Avernus? How do you make one of the worst choices you could possibly make?
Right. Let's say I want to have tea with Tiamat. Not Tiamat.
Tiamat. So a portal to Avernus, one was erected in the spring of 1346 DR, year of the Bloodbird, in the burial glen of Mithranor. By the Baneites, by those followers of Bane, but under the influence of Zentarim agents, and by proxy, a cabal of Alhun living in the ruins. The Alhun had it erected so that the devils it spawned would prevent the Faerims in the area from attacking the liches while they search for the city for magic. Absolutely wild. Why this came about, there's so many things that could kill you.
An Alhun, isn't that, those are the, they're mind flayer related, yeah?
Yeah, they're like
the ones that were kicked out.
They're like Stingray. No, I'm thinking of something completely different. Yeah, Alhoun are like the outcasts.
I think they're the outcast ones. Yeah. Okay, cool, perfect.
And so
an entire cabal of outcast mind flayers.
Right, like the ones where the mind flayers were like, "Wow, you guys are not cool. You guys gotta get out of here."
Oh my god, it's just a group of nerds hiding up there and everybody's afraid of them and they're like, oh, thank goodness, somebody's going to leave us alone and we can read our books. No, play Houses and Humans Undisturbed.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
They're not.
They're pretty awful, yeah.
Oh, dang. All right, fine.
So although this portal to Avernus was intended to only remain open for a short time, interference caused it to become permanent. And
oh!
Yeah, so this portal was eventually closed by the Knights of Mithranor, but only it was 11 years later. So for 11 years, the devils that, it unleashed
portal
devils.
Portal to hell just open, just the highway to hell? Just
open, just wide open. Devils unleashed to infest the ruins until the Elven Crusade of 1374 DR. So not only so... The portal opens in 1346. It's not closed until 1357. And then
open for 11 years. But
and then it's not even, it's almost 20 years after that, that all the devils
it takes
that,
them to oh my gosh.
Wild stuff.
That is insane.
Another portal to Avernus was erected in Dragonspear Castle by a Kalashite mage after Darrow's Dragonspear, the one who had built the castle, was tricked into sacrificing himself. So this was in 1290 DR, Year of the Whelm. The wizard binds, the Kalashite mage binds Darrow's dragon companion, Halathahalir, that's the best I could think of, in a magical slumber, and then tricks Darrow's into sacrificing his life and activates the portal that leads to Avernus.
That is fantastic. Halat Aflair.
Is that? I said it all right. Look, names
still,
are made up.
Right. I'm still over here, the Year of the Whelm. So it's not under, it's not over.
Just the whelm. You
just whelm.
Perfectly whelmed.
It's just perfectly whelm. I could go for a nice perfectly whelm day.
Right.
It's
been
a while.
It has been a while. Thank you so much for listening to our insane ramblings about hell in D&D. During the middle of the show, we absolutely love doing this. We love supporting the community. We love building the community. We love supporting other creators. If you haven't checked it out, we sat down and spoke with Christian Allaire, the creator behind Rise of the Black Coven, which is on Kickstarter right now. You can go and support that. It's something that, you know, we're not, you know, this is there, we have no skin in the game, so to speak, other than we think it's an awesome product and we want to support others as much as possible.
It's just beautifully put together, thought out, and just very well done. And he's an absolute treasure to talk to as well.
So go ahead and check that out. It's a part of our D&D Lorecast Presents series, which are just essentially extra special episodes where we talk to content creators and folks like that to
people in the community to kind of get a more rounded out, you know, the other part of it, because we find our players a lot, but you know, and there's the traditional stuff and the stuff in Wizards of the Coast, but I like talking to everybody that's involved in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life for this short amount of time. We hope to see you back again.
Yeah, we'll do this some more.
My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
Fare thee well, dear listener. And until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, consider following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. At D&D Lorecast, or jumping into the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons and Dragons. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening. listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.